chapter 17 and starting at verse 1. I got to move kind of quickly. Amen. We have communion on today. Amen. And really, I want to not take this one into two separate Sundays. Amen. So we're going to have to kind of move quickly. Amen. If that's all right with you. Amen. Is that all right with you? Or y'all don't care. Amen. Amen. We're still looking. First Kings chapter 17, verse 1, starting at verse 1. We're still looking at how to make sense of what's going on now. We've been looking at the correlation between Israel when they had divided from underneath the son of Solomon, Rehoboam and Jeroboam kind of took the northern tribes. And so we've been primarily looking at what was going on in the northern tribes, those that defected from the will of God and those that defected from the house of David. And they chose their own king and kind of went their own way and established their own worship and disregarded God. And so we looked at the golden calves that was first introduced just a little bit. It was a counterfeit. It looked like, and the worship looked like what was going on in Jerusalem, but it was different. They had, instead of the temple, they had the golden calves. And so we've been looking at how just a little deviation from the word of God and from the will of God can bring us to a place that we never really thought at the beginning. And so we've been looking at how the correlation between our nation, how it started off Pilgrims First Coming because they wanted to serve the Lord in freedom and serve the Lord with honesty and not have the trappings of what the church had become. And there's been different times in church history that the same cycle has been repeated, but we see how a nation started off one way and then it kind of deviated and became more about enterprise and becoming bigger and gaining more money. And so we see that worship and church had never ceased to be a part of American history and American life. But now we've come to a place now where we've seen where churches are everywhere, but there is no God seen in our society. Amen. A lot of people talk about God. A lot of people use the name God. A lot of people use the word spiritual, but we do not see in our culture of today, our American culture, or people want to call it Western culture today, any semblance of Christ in it. And so here's what today's message is really about, because while we're trying to understand it, we also need to be encouraged in it, that even when the nation and the majority of people are walking contrary to God, what do the righteous do in the land of darkness? There's the thing that because God says that he will always leave a remnant. He would always leave a remnant. That means that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how many people, no matter how the majority rules, God's way of doing things is never by a democracy. There may be democratic societies and all the rest of that. That may be good to a point, but God will never start becoming democratic where he takes a vote and he says, okay, I'll do whatever the majority wants to do. God is still going to be in control. Amen. And so when we see all the stuff that was going on, and we've kind of looked at it historically from the perspective of the scriptures that we see, first it was the golden calf worship. It looked like the worship that was going on at the temple, but it was slightly different, and they were now worshiping the golden calves. It represented their own ingenuity, their own strength, and what can I do to gratify myself? And so then that takes you further into some other things. And so then along with the golden calf worship, then they brought in Baal worship, which is looking to not just gratify yourself, but it really is now you're going to indulge yourself, that every opportunity you have to gratify yourself, you're not going to restrain yourself from anything, because the whole point of Baal worship is fertility or increase. That if you had a good time here, now you got to have an extra good time here. And then now you've had this good time here. And it becomes a real interesting thing that our society has become like that, where now, you know, our sense of understanding about what we think life is about is really along the same lines as Baal worship, where we feel that everything ought to become more and more and more. And so nobody ever starts off in a starter home anymore. You know, one house, and you maybe can put four changes of clothes in the closet and everything. Everybody wants to start off with the big three-car garage. Hello, somebody. And then, but where do you go from there? Amen. What happens when you send your children on prom, or not prom, on eighth grade graduation in a limousine? Okay, where do they have to go in high school? Hello. Where do they do when they become married? Hello. And so it's the idea, and the idea of the culture and the idea of the nation, where now everything is about increase. Everything is about getting more and going higher and getting more. And it doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with it. But what can happen is the flesh is never satisfied. And then the flesh, so busy going after getting more, it can never then concentrate on God, because it's concentrating on self and getting more and more. Amen. And so now what happens when the righteous who want to serve God in spirit and in truth? What happens when the righteous have to live in a land of darkness? Now, it almost makes you feel like you're under attack at all times, because either you're personally under attack by people who want to do the wrong thing, or you're under attack because the world is pushing some stuff that are tempting to you. Nobody wants to say nothing there. What happens when the darkness, and there's part of the darkness that's in the society, and while you're trying to live for God, there's something that's in the darkness that's bidding you to come? Hello. Say, come on. Oh, it ain't that bad. Look at here. Oh, you know, you used to be over on this side. Remember when we used to? Hello. And so then you're trying to live for God. The righteous is living in a land of darkness, and either the darkness is trying to pull you in, or the darkness is trying to shut you down. So here's where we are. We're looking now at the scripture, and remember, we're still looking at where we are as a nation. Remember, we're in it's people call this nation a whole bunch of things. They call it post-Christian, postmodern, everything. It's, you know, post-God, you might as well say, because a lot of people are talking about the word God, but what do they mean by God? Is God self? Is God the car? Is God the job? What is God? Okay, you're calling God by his name, but are you calling the real God, or are you calling something else God? And it was funny that as we're looking at this, 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to get right into it. But it was funny that my daughter was making an observation, and I thought it was a very interesting observation that she made. She wanted to see the BET Awards, so she was going to miss it. So she had me to tape it. She had me to tape it. So I taped it, and so I was working on something in the room. And so I think the DVR box was in our room, so she came in there to watch it, and I was doing something else. And so it was interesting. Halfway through it, there was other comments that she said, oh, my gosh, oh my gosh. And so halfway through it, she says something interesting. She says, Dad, all these people have got up to get their awards, and nobody has yet said thank God. Now, we had talked about it before. No. The only one that I heard in it was Neo. But But no, up to halfway through it, nobody said, I thank God. Nobody said it. In times past, we've talked about that. We say, okay, we've talked about that. And I guess that's what she was thinking about, that I said in times past, a lot of them, the first thing they get up and say, I thank God because without him, none of this would be possible. But the thing that they were thanking God about was booty shaking. Hello. And all the rest of that. Hello. A lot of the CDs that they were successful for had nothing to do with glorifying God. But then they said, well, I thank God because without this, none of this would be possible. Well, this year, a lot of them, I only heard one. I didn't really see all of it. But up to halfway through it, the only one that said something about first thank God was Neo. Everybody said without Michael Jackson, none of this would be possible. Yeah, but never did say God. But anyway, but how do you live righteously in a society where there is anti-God going on? Anti-God. Anti-God, not meaning nobody's talking about God or everybody's atheist per se or saying that they're atheists, but what happens when God's character is the last thing that people want? And now you got to live in that. Now, let's come to the text. Let's come to the text. Let's look at this. And we all know about Elijah, but I wanted to, before I went into familiar territory with stories and people that we already know and we've heard in scripture before, I wanted us to really get a picture of the climate in which Elijah had to operate. See, we hear about Elijah, we're going to talk about the prophets of Baal and all the rest of that. Y'all familiar with the prophets of Baal and calling fire down from heaven. We've heard sermons about that. But have we really understood the climate in which he had to deal with? And so for the last month, I've been talking about the climate in which he had to minister. And it says here in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, we know Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Oh, we like that. We like that. We like that. The prophet spoke and said, I'm going to shut up heaven and it won't rain until I say so. Now, that was interesting. But a lot of people miss what is really going on there. And so a lot of people now, and in the last 10, 20 years, they, you know, prophets popping up left and right, popping up like popcorn, saying, thus saith the Lord, and I'm going to say this. And they saying a whole lot of stuff. But just because a prophet or someone that says that they are a prophet says something don't necessarily mean that it's not going to rain just because they said so. Hello. Look at here. Elijah was a prophet of God, but he was a prophet of the true God in the midst of the most wickedest person that had ever ruled up to this time. The most wicked person up to this time. Now, you have the greatest prophet ministering. At the same time, you've got the most wicked king and the most wicked time going on. Now, how can you successfully live? Now, this is to the church who really wants to do what God wants. I'm not talking about that part of the church who really wants everything that God has for them. I'm not talking about that church. Hello. Hello, y'all quiet today. I'm not talking about the part of the church that I want to get everything that God has for me. I'm not talking about that church. The church just wants stuff from God. I'm not talking about the church that just wants everything to go well for them and call it faith. No, I'm talking about the real church that says, God, whatever you have for my life, whatever you want me to do, whatever, however brightly you want me to shine in the midst of darkness, God, I will do it. Not I don't want it. Not saying I want it, but I will do it. And so now, Elijah represents, and we're going to look today, Elijah represents living for God in the middle of darkness. Look, we got to go up a little bit more to see. See, we start off in with Elijah, but we got to see what does the Bible say about Ahab. We got to go up to 1 Kings chapter 16. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Now, that's an award that I don't want. Hello. That's an award that I don't want. He did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all that was before him. And verse 31 says, and it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. We talked about that. The golden calves and self-sufficiency. And I want what I want. The son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. Jezebel. The daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. So now, it's saying that he not only was interested in walking like Jeroboam did, that first took Israel away from God, but now it says that he did even more. He served Baal, and he did even more. Verse 32 and verse 33 says, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. He did more. He did more. Everybody said more. So now, he did more to provoke the Lord than everybody before him. He not only was just concerned about being self-sufficient. He wasn't just concerned with just trying to get the people to become self-sufficient, but now he reared up an altar to Baal, served Baal, set up a house to Baal. Now watch this. Watch this. Let's look at this whole thing, because you got to remember, keep in mind, we're looking at Elijah, the man of God who was serving God. He didn't leave from where he was and go down to Jerusalem. See, sometimes it will make us feel as if the only way that we can serve God is to leave from wherever evil is. You know, if we someplace and stuff is real bad, people don't want to pray, people don't want to serve God, you feel that you got to run away. But now, hold on. Here's the thing. What happens when the nation has got to a place where everywhere you go, every time you turn on the TV, hello, every time you turn on the radio, every time you walk out your door, hello, somebody, you're hearing some stuff that you almost, if you want to try to keep your kids away from hearing the wrong stuff, seeing the wrong stuff, you almost got to have them walking around like those three monkeys. Hello. You know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. And so what happens? Where can you run when the whole nation has gone crazy? Well, let's look at the climate. Let's look at the climate that Ahab had created. We've seen up to this point, we've looked at what Baal worship was, what Chemosh was, what Ashtoreth and all the rest of that. All of that stuff was going on. Now you have a leader who is now not just allowing it to go on in secret, but you have a leader who is now married somebody who is a part of the leading echelon of that false worship. And now he's promoting even more of it. It's not now just in the closet. It's now on the front page. It's on the porch. Hello. Look, let's see a couple of things about what climate did Ahab create. He was more self-serving than previous rulers. Meaning, when it says that he did more evil, He was more destructive. He was more wicked, meaning that he only wanted what he wanted. Whatever came to his mind, that's what he wanted. And we don't have time today to talk about how he just saw the garden and the vineyard of Naboth. And because he wanted it, he was so caught up in himself, he made himself sick till he went home to his wife and started sulking and pouting, talking about, I want this vineyard. This is the richest man in the country, and he sees one little man's vineyard, and because he just wants it, now he's not satisfied with all he has, and now he goes whining to his wife, and his wife has the man killed just so, baby, I don't like to see you pout like this. You the man of the house. Wink, wink. Hello. So I'm going to get this for you. And so he was more self-serving than previous rulers. Look, next thing. He not only thought little of the previous sins of the nation, but he added to them. It's interesting when people, matter of fact, the scripture says that the fool, it is the fool that makes a mockery of sin. It is a fool that makes a mockery of sin, meaning you see it's sin, you know God said it's sin, but then that makes it even more appealing. Hello? Does that sound like anything that kind of goes on in our nation? Is there any group of people that you might think of? I'm not talking about racially or any other category, but there's a mindset of some people that it seems like whatever is something that you shouldn't do, that's what they really want to do. I mean, they have whole stations kind of dedicated to that type of mindset. Hello. Whatever shouldn't be done, that's what they're going to put on this show. Hello. Let me help you out. Let me help you out a little bit. I know y'all don't watch this. I know y'all don't watch it. I know you never even seen it because you turn always to the Word Channel. You always had a Word Channel on. But I know that there's one station that even had a whole show that was called Jack as the World Turns. You know. Jack as the World Turns. You know. And so that kind of tells you already what's going to be on it. And when I watched it, because I said, now why in the world would they have this? And then when I saw it, I saw that it described exactly the people that were on there. Hello. What happened? What is it about some people that they would tune in every week to see somebody throw themselves half naked into a thorn bush? Hello? Y'all looking at me crazy. See, I told you. You didn't, you said, come on, Pastor. I know that's not on TV. Yes, it is. Stuff where folks throwing darts and all the rest of stuff that just seems inconceivable to the mind. And then you say, this is what some people consider entertainment. Everything that shouldn't be done, somebody is taking gratification in either doing it or seeing somebody else do it. And so then here's the thing. You have some people that think so little about sin that they really mock it till they want to do it plus some. So you had Ahab who did the same thing. He had established Baal worship and was added along with the house of worship. He then not only worshiped and promoted worship of the golden calves. Now he said, I'm going to marry a woman who's one of the top priestess and all the rest of this of Baal worship. We going to add this to what we're already doing. And not only am I going to do that, I am now going to make a house of worship. So now you don't have to do it in your home. Now you got a place where you can go out on the street corner. You can go out. And so while everybody else, while you have the real prophets trying to go and leave the land and go down to Jerusalem when they supposed, now whatever kind of worship you want, that's what you can have. What happens when the true worshipers of God, the ones who really want to worship God in Jesus' name, according to the way that God has prescribed, What do you do when you're really told that you are the outsiders, you are the ones who are wrong, and now every other type of worship is okay except for real worship to the Lord? Hello. This is the climate in which Elijah had to live in. And so now Ahab, he set up Baal worship. And it also says, and he made groves to Asherah. So now, not only is it Baal worship, but now he set up, now watch this. He set up, and you got to remember, we talked about Asherah. And so it says in 1 Kings chapter 16 that he not only did that, but he set up groves. Now, don't think that means that he planted forests, groves of trees. Don't think that he was just trying to be a humanitarian and he was, you know, green and, you know, all the rest of that. I want to plant some Arbor Day stuff. No. He set up groves. That meant he set up and established officially national places where they could go and have orgies. Hello, somebody. You see, when you read the scripture, that's why I try to break it down so that you will understand what's really being said, where it says that he then raised up groves, meant that not only what could you worship Baal, but, you know, when you were kind of feeling frisky, hello, you could say, I'm going to worship, but you could go to the grove, hello, and then come home with a smile and say, God has blessed me, hello. But what God are you talking about? Hello. This is what was going on. While they're still saying they are the people of God. And God bless Israel. God bless America. How can you really say God bless America when you're doing everything that is contrary to what God would say you need to do? And so look at this. The leader's attitude made it easy, misspelled, made it easy for others to sin also. And so you need to understand that when the nation starts to go left or right, when it should be going forward, up, down, when it should be going forward, when there are national policies, when there are things that make it easier for people to sin, don't think people are not going to take the opportunity. Hello. And so I do not agree also with trying to make everybody Christian. You then can't go the opposite direction and try to make everybody heathens either. Oh, and nobody gonna say nothing. Hello. 1 Kings chapter 16. Look, we're going to see what this climate was like. What this climate was like. Because remember, think about it. While I'm talking about all this and I see the frowns on your face, like, oh my God, this was going on? Well, it's no different than what's going on now. Hello? And see, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to look back at something else. Because when we look at something else, we then can look back at what we're going through and see it differently. Because here's the thing. Even in the church, when you see something long enough, you actually become immune to it. Hello? You can accept it without necessarily accepting it as in you doing it. But if you see stuff go on long enough, stuff starts to not shock you as much. That's what happens with murderers. The more they do it, the less they really feel it. The more somebody steals, the less they really feel about stealing. The more that somebody, you know, feels the more somebody knocks people over the head and mugs them on the street, the less they really feel about it. The more you're around negative and sinful stuff, the less you really feel about it. And so look at what happened. Now it's interesting. It talked about how Ahab was doing all this and what he set up and what kind of climate he made. Then it says all of a sudden in his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Jeshub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. That was a prophecy in Joshua. That was a prophecy hundreds of years earlier that Joshua made. Now, what is the significance about this? We're talking about Ahab. Now we're talking about this guy, Hiel. What does that mean? What? Why in the world is that in there? Well, this shows an example of the overall condition of Israel, that because Ahab did what he did, you had people now that now, even though they knew something was a curse, even though they knew something was a sin, they now felt, hey, you know what? It'd be cool if I did this. So this is an example that this person now, even though they knew what God had said, the climate that Ahab had created because he made all sin just acceptable, now this man said, you know what? Even though Joshua said it was a curse, you know, I can make a name for myself if I build up this city, because it's been laying ruins for hundreds of years. Man, I could really make a name for myself. And matter of fact, I will sacrifice both of my sons and not even blink an eye, nor probably did he lose any sleep. This is the type of climate that was going on in Israel. So now, when you think about it, look, when you think about it, I want you to see that God always has a word. Whatever is done, God always has a word before he sends a word. God has always spoken a word before he sends a word. Deuteronomy 11, you can jot that down real quick. He said, if you serve other gods, if you don't listen to me, you serve other gods and you bow down to worship them, I will cause there to be no rain and cause there to be a famine, and the ground won't yield her fruit, and you will perish quickly off of the face of the Lord, of the land that the Lord gave you. That's what he said. He said that to Moses even before they got in the land, right? He said that before they even got in the land. Now, let's go back to Ahab. Ahab, what, did more evil than everybody before him, right? And now we're going to see that Elijah in chapter 17, here we are. Elijah says, it's not going to rain except by my word. Remember? 1 Kings chapter 17. Remember, I said that. It's not that the prophet, just because he was a prophet, could say whatever he wanted to say and it would happen. See, a lot of people think that prophets are like that. Oh, the prophet said, and the prophet said, and just because somebody says that they're a prophet, that if they then just say something, it has to come to pass because they're a prophet. Hello. But here's the thing. Ahab was already condoning worship to the golden calves. Then he went even further and married a woman who was a devout worshiper of Baal, then brought Baal worship in, not only worshiped Baal, but then set up a house of worship for Baal, setting the tone, right? Not only did he do that, he then set up places for there to be orgies as a part of worship to Ashtoreth. So now, he has already established at least three types of worships contrary to God. Three other types of worship, full-blown worship, not in the corner, not just in your home, but out in the open, contrary to what they knew they should have been worshiping, which is worshiping God, right? So now, what did Deuteronomy say? He said, God said in Deuteronomy, he said, if you, as a nation, choose to worship other gods contrary to what I've told you, what did he say? What did he say? He said, let's go back to it just in case you don't remember. What did he say? He said what? That your heart be not deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, right? What did it say? And the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you and what? Come on, what does it say? Uh-huh. God said, if you serve and worship other gods, his anger will be kindled and he will what? Shut up the heaven that there will be no rain, right? That's what he said. So now, what did Elijah just do? Elijah just said what God had already said. The prophet only said what God had already said. See, the prophet doesn't speak his own words. Now, there's the thing. A prophet can come and say a whole bunch of stuff, but it's not just because that person is a prophet that it's going to come to pass, but they must say something that God has already said. And so, look at this. The law of God was already clear. The law of God was already clear. They had already had the law. They had already had Moses. They had Moses' word during the times of the judges, during the time of the kingdom, while the kingdom was together. And now it's apart. Now it's hundreds of years later. They still had the word. They still knew what God said. But Ahab chose. Everybody said chose. Ahab chose to do his own thing. It wasn't that they did not know. See, here's an interesting thing. Why has America gotten into the situation it is? It's not because the word of God has not been given in America. Hello? It's not because the nation did not know. The Bible has been stuck off in some corner. Nobody has ever said anything. No, a lot of this stuff is known, is out there. And now we have it where everything that the word of God says now automatically, as soon as you say the word of God, as soon as you say God says, as soon as you say, well, God wants us to do this, is already what? Immediately attacked. And then as soon as any crackpot comes up and says some crazy stuff, it's accepted, and oh, we got to let people just believe as they want to believe. Okay, everybody has the freedom of choice. Now watch this. I'm gonna change something that I've said before, only for correct understanding. Everybody has the freedom of choice. Everybody has the freedom of choice, but everybody does not have the right of choice. There's a difference. The freedom of choice means God has given everybody the freedom to make their own choices. Freedom of choice. But not every choice will you have the right to make. Meaning, when you make a choice, God isn't going to say it's right just because you had the freedom to make it. Adam and Eve had the freedom of choice. But then when they made their choice, God told them that you made the wrong choice. Hello? Oh, it'll sink in. It'll sink in. So God gives everybody choices and everybody has the freedom to make the choice that they want to. He says, I've set before you what? Life and death. So you have the freedom to choose life or you have the freedom to choose death. But he says the right choice is choose life. Now, you can choose death, but there's some consequences to it. You have the right, you have the ability and the freedom to choose. Hello. Now, that will come in, that will probably sink in a little bit more when we get to pro-life or pro-choice. Everybody has the freedom to make choices with their bodies. Yes, they do. But in God's eyesight, you don't have the right of every choice. That's a whole nother message. Hello. That means that when you make your choice, God is not going to condone all of your choices. Just as he did with Ahab, God had said what he wanted, and Ahab chose to do something differently. He chose to worship according as he wanted to, according to what his heart wanted to do. And so now this, what he did, led the whole nation in the same direction. Because what do you have? When the leader says it's okay to worship Baal and to increase and get more stuff, now what do you think? The flesh and the sin nature of the people says, yeah, right on. We gonna do this. Not only are we worshiping the golden calf, but now we now have gone even further and we have more freedom. That can be a double-edged sword there. Freedom. Freedom can be a double-edged sword because, yeah, you can be free, but if you take your freedom in ways that are contrary to God's word, you're free, but you're free to be in bondage. Mm-hmm. Look, next point. Here's the thing. God had already spoken in Deuteronomy, but at this point in time, in 1 Kings chapter 17, now God speaks to Elijah and says, now is the time that I'm about to fulfill what I already spoke. Now is the time that I'm about to fulfill what I had already spoke. I already said that if the people start serving other gods, I'll shut up heaven. Now God speaks to Elijah one day and says, go and tell Ahab that it's not going to rain until you say so. Now, here's the thing. God, in doing that, God was also actually saying, just as I'm telling you to go and say that it's now not going to rain until I tell you, till you say it, when I tell you again to tell them that it's going to rain, that's when it's going to start raining again. So it's not up to Elijah's own prerogative. So now watch this. A real prophet cannot do anything just because they have a title. So then, don't be afraid when somebody says a prophet and all the rest of this stuff, and then they say some stuff, and you feel that just because they're a prophet, you got to follow it just because they say that they are a prophet. Hello. Especially if it's something that you haven't yet determined whether God has already said or not. Put it on the shelf. God will show you if it's in there or not. Look, but look at this. But here's the thing. God spoke to Elijah. Elijah then spoke to Ahab that it's not going to rain till I say so. But now here's the funny thing. Wicked people don't recognize God nor his word. So then they have to always change it. Now, it's not God speaking. That's just what you say. See, I'm trying to bring some of this so that you'll understand what's going on in our nation. Okay. Don't it become frustrating when you see something is definitely contrary to God's word? Then you say only what God's word has already said, and then their response is, well, that's just your interpretation. But no. It says it. Then you bring them to it. It said, no, you just saying that because. Okay, but even if I was just saying it because, that still don't take away from the fact that it says it. Even if my motive was off, it's still there. No. They always want to make it what? The person. When the wicked don't hear God, they won't hear God's spokespeople, whether it be man, woman, boy, or girl. Hello. And so then that is why there is a push to get the Ten Commandments out of courtrooms. Hello. We didn't realize it way back then, but that was the reason why the enemy got prayer out of schools. Hello. We didn't see that it was a longer agenda. So I really don't come down as hard on the church as some people do. It's, well, the church didn't say nothing when they took prayer out of schools. Okay, maybe not. But here's the thing. We got to understand the devil is so shrewd. He's not going to let you see what he's really up to. He going to bring in a little bit. Okay, well, we can still pray. Okay, that's fine. Not realizing it was going to be a whole snowball effect. But now it's no reason for us as the church not to realize we are in some dark days. And so don't be discouraged, because this is the whole point of the message. Don't be discouraged when you're trying to live righteously for the Lord in a dark time, when everything that's around you is trying to go contrary to what God wants for your life. Because if they're not going to listen to God, they really not going to want to listen to you. And they're going to then say that your motives is evil, because their mindset is already that they're saying that good is evil and they're saying that evil is good. To follow Christ is narrow-minded. It is bigoted. It is hateful. These are all the things that the world is saying now, right? But now to do whatever you want to do is freedom. To now not restrain yourself is really being who you really are. Hello. We understand this, that now they flipped everything upside down. But now watch this. Here's the thing. When God's people are in darkness, we should never allow ourselves to become frustrated and to the point where it feels like, what's the use? Remember, I think it was Psalm 73, where it talked about, you know, one of the priests just saw everything going wrong. And he says, you know, what's the point of me keep my hands clean? What's the point of me serving the Lord when it seems like the wicked are prospering? Well, we got to see, even God's messengers who have faith and exercise their faith in obedience, we will oftentimes find ourselves in the middle of sinners, and it'd be like Lot. The whole place is just vexing our soul. You don't know how rough it is at sometimes. Well, yeah, Sean does. But you don't know how rough it is sometimes to have to deal with the post office. I mean, you try to put your headphones on, and it seems like sometimes the language, and not just the language, but even what they're talking about, is going through the earphones. Hello. And I'm sure there's other jobs that do the same thing, but you know, we don't have any cubicles that you can close your door and all the rest of this get away from it all. You kind of just out there. Hello. And not just one conversation, but you got, you know, multiple conversations. You can't just tune off one thing and tune. So what do you do when you're trying to live for God and God seems like he puts his people right in the middle of darkness, and you got to stay there and you got to live there. Hello. You got to stay there. You got to live there. You got to function for God in the middle of darkness. 1 Kings 18. Look at this. And Elijah went. Now, here's the part where we already understand. Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. Now, this is at the end of the 3.5 years. It's been 3.5 years that it hasn't rained, right? He said, it's not going to rain until I say so. 3.5 years of it not raining. 3.5 years of completely no rain, no dew in the morning, no nothing. Everything is brown, withered up. And basically, if you hadn't stored up any food, it was going to be rough. And so now, after 3.5 years, now it says that Elijah now shows himself to Ahab. And now look at this. And there was a sore famine. Yeah, it wasn't just we didn't have enough food. I'm talking about it's everything is dried up. Everything is desperate. Folks are looking crazy. This is at the same time. Remember, this is at the same time. Remember, Elijah went to the woman and she and her son only had one little thing, a meal. You know, that's where that story comes in. We only had one little thing, a meal left. And Elijah says, well, bring me a cake and then you can eat also. This is in that same time period. Now, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was a governor of his house. Now watch that. God always knows how to position his people. So now, whatever place you're in, now this is what helped me be able to deal with working at the post office. Because I surely, at one point in time, I surely knew that God didn't want me to be here. How in the world could I concentrate on God's word when everything that was spoken was definitely and God? How can you concentrate on getting a message together while they talking about what they talking about? Hello. I said, God, now I know this is a mistake. God, why? Lord, you got to do something. Get me out of here. Calgon, take me away. Somebody take me away. But look at here. You got Ahab, as wicked as he is. But now look at this. You got Obadiah, who is a governor of his house. One of the leading people in Ahab's house, he is one who what? Fears the Lord greatly. Now, he's hearing, he's seeing everything that Ahab and Jezebel is saying, and he is now a worshiper of the Lord right in the household of Ahab. But now, he had to operate undercover. Every time somebody operates undercover for the Lord, it's not because they're scared and they're compromising. Hello? You know, we've heard that. You know, you need to be able to speak up and tell the Lord and tell people who you are. And, well, yeah, maybe, and sometimes not. Hello? Sometimes not. This man had to play it low key. That didn't mean he was out there worshiping with Baal and all the rest of them trying to fit in, but he just wasn't out in the open about who he was, but he had a purpose. Why? Because what? For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. You know what that cut off the prophets of the Lord means, do you? Do you know? Does anybody not know what that means? That meant Jezebel went about killing, executing the prophets of the Lord. That's what it meant. It didn't mean that she was giving them a close shave. Hello. No. And it came to pass when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that now that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. What do you think would have happened to Obadiah if he was talking, I ain't scared to praise the Lord. I'm going... He's in the household. She was bold enough to go out throughout the whole countryside and find prophets and kill them. So now I got to be real quiet, because if the rest of these prophets are going to stay alive, I've got to keep quiet, do what I'm doing to keep God's people alive. Hello. During the time of Nazi Germany, some folks had to act like they were on the side of Hitler just to keep the Jews alive, just to keep the preachers alive, the priests and everybody else alive. And so sometimes you have to not compromise, but sometimes you have to use wisdom in where and how you serve the Lord for God's ultimate purpose. Hello. I think one of the... I'm just going to say this is my opinion. I think one of the reasons why we've been able to keep the prayer group at our job going and nobody's bothered us and everything else, it is really because I keep a low key. Now, everybody know I'm, you know, Rev and all the rest of that stuff. But I don't fall in with the rest of them, but I don't walk around there like, oh, praise the Lord, you better stop cussing because I'm God's man. People going to cuss if they going to cuss. Some folks cuss so much that it's part of their own, it's part of their language. So if you tell them, you just watch your mouth. What did I say? They don't even know what they said. Hello. Because it's just like saying, well, you just said the word "the." Count how many times you say the word "the." Sometimes you have to be the person of God without then trying to make sure that people know you the person of God. Because sometimes it's just a front anyway. You know, you just want to drive folks off. You ain't really showing God's glory. You just offending folks. You just want to offend folks and say it in Jesus' name. Hello. But look, Obadiah. Now remember, because I'm almost finished, but I want you to see this. That remember this, the whole climate of what's going on is against God. It's against God. But now God has Elijah out there. It's so bad. Now remember, it's so bad in the country that Elijah didn't even know he wasn't the only one left. Come on. I'm trying to bring all these different stories. Remember when he was running, he was scared from Jezebel trying to kill him. Remember that he prayed to the Lord. I alone am the only prophet left. And we, you know, sometimes we get on Elijah like, come on now, you tripping. You ain't the only one. But now, think about the climate. He probably couldn't have looked around and found anybody that he could have praised God with. You know how we say, you know, if you could find two or three together, God is in the midst. Elijah was out there. He couldn't find another one. Why? Because all the other prophets was hid in the cave. I want you to understand, this is what it was like. Elijah was out there. I can't say nothing to nobody about God because everybody is against God. Who am I going to say anything to? I alone am the only one. He's like, no. I didn't took care of some others. He didn't know it. Have you ever felt like that? Have you almost felt like that? You around folks talking about they Christians, everything else. And then when you really see them, you're like, am I actually the only one who really wants to try? You know, and then you don't want to do that because you don't want to get into a pride, you know, self-righteous men. But sometimes you might feel that way. You're like, am I the only one that's really trying to do really what God wants? And because I'm looking and folks is doing some real strange stuff. And they tell you what they're doing, and then they say they're Christians, and they swinging and hello, yeah, all the rest of that stuff. Hello. And you say, well, shouldn't you know? But look, it's at least 102 people. It's at least only 102 people. It may have been others, but out of a whole nation, God is only recording 102 people that's serving him. Elijah, the 100 prophets. Hello. 100 prophets. And Obadiah, who's in Ahab's house. Now watch this. I'm going to move on. He's in Ahab's house, but here's another reason why he needs to be quiet. He needs to serve God, but be quiet, you know, not because if it is a sore famine, Ahab's house is probably the only house that has enough food and water. So Obadiah wasn't being quiet for himself. He was being quiet so he could sneak some food and water out of Ahab's house and bring it to the prophets. So now look at this. And I got to move quickly on this because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time. But look at the sense of humor of God. Maybe you never probably thought about it that way, but look at the sense of humor of God. Remember Baal worship. That was the main thing, right? We talked about what Baal worship was about. It was about increase. It's about fertility. They symbolize it by what? The ground producing fruit and the rain coming. So they would pray to Baal that the rain would come down heavy so that they could have more fruit, and it symbolized them getting the increase, right? But now look at this. They were only concerned really about their own increase. They weren't concerned about God. They were only concerned about them materially have an increase and their own survival. Everything was about them, not about God. It was about them. So they served Baal because Baal worship was the worship that dealt with self. Right? Now, I don't want to serve, if I'm thinking about me and my increase, I don't want to serve a God that talks about deny yourself. Hello? Come on, let's think about this. If my whole focus is on me getting more, I'm really not concerned about a God that says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Mm-mm. No. I kind of want that one that says you can have it all. I kind of want that one that says there's no limit to what you can have. If you whatever you want, you can just get it. I kind of want to go with that one. So I'll forget this God and I'll kind of go with this one. Now look at this. The true God then was mocking Baal by not allowing it to rain. Because look at this. If the majority of the people were serving this God that was supposed to be about rain and fertility and the ground producing stuff. Now, what is the best way to show them that your God ain't working? Your God don't have batteries in him. Your God got a glitch in him. Because you serving him because what? You want it to rain and produce crops. Now, I stop it from raining. And no matter how much you go back to Baal, no matter how much you keep on doing for Baal, it still ain't raining. Your God ain't working. Let's flip it. From the beginning of the nation starting as a nation, we're not talking about when the pilgrims came, but we're talking about 120 years later, as the nation wants to become a nation and now increase. The main focus has been on money, increase, and getting more. You know, the American way. You can come here with nothing and gain the world. That's the American way. That is what we sell people on. Now we've sold people on it for so long. Now we don't want folks to come in. Ain't that ironic? I want you to see the irony. You've been telling people we take in your broken and your dispossessed, Ellis Island type stuff. Come on in. But now when they start coming in and really coming in, now it's like, oh no, y'all illegal. Y'all stay out. Hello? But they just saying, well, we just following what you saying. You can come in with nothing. Yeah, but now the problem is, watch this. Here's the problem. Our God is no longer supporting us. I want you to let that sink in. I'm talking about the national God, not our God, but the national God is not supporting us anymore, because the national God is what? Actually, it is the Baal type of worship. Increase. You can come with nothing. You can get everything. You can have whatever you want. You can have it your way. That's basically what we've been drawing people with. You can have it your way. But now the problem is we can't support ourselves. So if we can't support ourselves, we can't afford to have any extra people coming in and taking from what we already don't have. Hello. So now we can't afford for that to happen because we're trying to get our God to start blessing us again. Because everything we're trying to do to try to get more increase is backfiring on us. Why? For the same reason. God says, if you serve other gods at some point in time, I will cause the heavens to stop raining, meaning that I will stop all of the opportunities that you have to get more. Don't think that the people didn't know beforehand that all this stuff was the wrong stuff to do, subprime loans and banks and everything. And I remember that. Wamu saying, oh, you don't need to be a big company. You can just be a little old person. Come in, get a. Yeah, right. And we see what happened to Wamu. Yeah, didn't see that black guy again doing that commercial. Chase got him. Yeah, we still chasing. Why? Because people saw that this was another way to get a little bit more money quickly. I don't care what's going to happen to those folks when we know they can't keep up with their mortgage, when it goes from a 4% interest to a 10% interest in 1 month after 2 years. Hello. And I'm going to say this and I'm just going to move on. I'm going to say it quickly and move on. How can some pastors sleep at night when they prophesied some of this garbage to folks? And then folks went out and did it. And then they come now crying. Now are the preachers and the prophets now saying, oh, no. Is the devil just trying to fight your stuff? No. You know, some folks were prophesying according to Baal. Hello. And so, but look at here. God was mocking Baal by causing it not to rain. Look, this is just to show the people that the God that they serving was not coming through. This is why a lot of people are in this condition that they're in now, because a lot of people have bought into hook, line, and sinker what the American dream was about, and not looking at what God wanted. And now they're frustrated because what they've trusted in has let them down. I'm not. And now here's the other thing I really want to say here. It doesn't mean that Christians won't be affected in this time. That's what I want you to see also. It doesn't mean that Christians won't be affected in this time, but in the midst of all this, the majority of what's going on is that people who have trusted in the system has been failed. Has nothing to do with black, white, Hispanic, because it's white folks that's losing jobs. Hello. Don't think this is just something, the white man. It's white men losing jobs. Hello. White women losing jobs. I don't care how much math Asians know, it's some Asians folks out of jobs. Hello. Because this stuff is not isn't dealing with any race, but it's dealing with God saying, hey, I'm going to shut up some stuff. But now, the majority of people serve Baal. Why did they serve Baal? Because Ahab seemed like he was doing well beforehand. He had a good army. He was able to send 2,000 chariots. They were the tanks of the day. They had 10,000 foot soldiers. He had, before the famine hit, he had enough money to build an entire house of ivory. Oh, yeah, he had some money. So, yeah, we're going to serve Baal, because it looks like Baal is coming through with what we want. It looks like Baal is giving us prosperity. It looks like Baal is meeting our needs. And so I'm not going to serve God who tells me not to work the seventh year. I'm not going, because I can't get any increase on that. I'm not going to serve this God that wants me to give my tithes, because that stuff going out. I'm looking for a God that's only going to bring stuff in. Just write that down. You can look at it later. Amos 8 and 11, because for the sake of time, Amos 8 and 11, there's your scripture dealing with God will send a famine, not of bread and of water, but hearing the word of God. Why do people forget God? Because they really, then don't want to hear God's word. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to hear what God has to say. I had so much in here. Don't worry. I'll come back to it. I know y'all hate it when I skip over slides. It's like, it was some good stuff on there. Don't worry. Jezebel was against God. She was against God. You got Elijah out there, and you got Jezebel. She was not just, and this is what you have to understand too. Even when people say they're spiritual, even when people say stuff, and we've been talking about this in Bible study, talk is cheap. We've been talking about that. Talk is cheap. Jezebel wasn't satisfied to live in coexistence with God. She wanted to destroy everything that even seemed remotely related to God. That's why she wanted to stomp out and to kill off all the prophets. And so she wanted to kill off all the prophets and establish Baal worship as the main worship of the land. This is why she went after Elijah, you know. But here's where we are. Here's where we are. Back to the last bit. We had to come full circle back around. Because we remember Elijah on Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal, right? You know the story. Had them asking for fire to come down from heaven. You know, come on, come on, come on. They was there all day crying out to Baal. Send fire down. Remember? Nothing happened. Then you get over on Elijah's side. Elijah says, now bring me water. It's a famine. It hasn't rained. Now you want me to water down, take the water that we got and water down the sacrifice three times. And then remember, he called down fire. But look at what happened right beforehand. I want you to see this before we move into that. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now, you the one leading folks into sin, but now the one that says, come back to God, you call him the troublemaker because it's not raining because he said so. Well, you the one that's bringing all this stuff. No, God said that if you did X, Y, and Z, you're going to get this. So I'm just speaking what God's word said. But now here's the thing. Don't be thrown off when people look at you as the enemy because you're stopping. They say that you're stopping them from doing what they want to do. Because it happened to Elijah, right? He says, I want you to bring all the people to Mount Carmel. Now, here it is. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450. Get this. The prophets of Baal, 450. And, everybody say and the prophets of the groves, 400. How many is that? That's 850. He wasn't just up against 450. He was up against 850. 450 prophets of Baal and 400 folks. I'm going to keep it nice. And 400 folks from the groves. I looked over stuff, so it had some children, and you know, we had a child in there, so I had to keep it together. 850. Look at this odds. Look at the odds here. One against 850. One against 850. Now, do you think you will ever have such odds as that? Probably not. So now here's the point. Don't be afraid of any odds that you might have to face while you're serving God. Because you may never be one against 850. You may be just you in your whole floor you know, where you work, or you and the small group, and somebody may be against you and don't want you to do what you need to do for God. They want to say that you're the one, the troublemaker. This is one against 850. But now I thought this was interesting. I'm going to leave this with you. Deuteronomy 32, because the Lord just dropped that in my head. And I said, 850. One against 850. Man. But God had already given us a word in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32 and 30. He says he will cause one to put 1,000 to flight. And the two to put 10,000. So now one against 850, he still had 150 to spare. Hello? God could have still found 150 more prophets to come, and still Elijah would have been able to handle them. And it says, because the Lord, he said he was able, they were able, that Deuteronomy 32 and 30 says, they were able to put 1,000 to flight because the Lord was their rock. And so because Elijah made the Lord his rock, he was able to defeat 850 of the prophets of both Baal and of the groves. What am I saying? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's going on now. Don't be afraid because everything seems to be anti-God. Don't be afraid of whatever things say. I'm through. But the first thing that I thought when I heard that they're talking about bringing out legislation about the hate crimes bill, I've already heard what that turned out to be in Canada. In Canada, they already had that passed. And in Canada, hate crimes bill, it's under the heading of trying to keep people from being hurt, or, you know, led to being hurt, who are, you know, have alternative lifestyles, or, you know, anti-Semitic. That's the front of it. But what is being used for is to also shut down pastors from preaching against certain things. And so then it can be interpreted as, hey, you're doing hate speech. So now in Canada, they've already had pastors that have been jailed for saying that the Bible said that homosexuality was a sin according to the Bible. Then they have been taken to jail. This is the same legislation that America is now talking about doing. So now when I heard that, I said, oh, that's interesting. We might have to. I don't know if it push come to shove, y'all might have to have a fundraiser to, you know, get passed out. Hello? Not out of the country, probably out of jail. Hello? But here's the thing, that God will sometimes allow his people to be in precarious situations to stand up for him, because it's not about what the majority thinks. God will never change his way of doing things for the majority. God will say, and I think he said it to Elijah. He either said it to Elijah Isaiah or Jeremiah. He told him, he says, let the people come to you. You don't come to the people. Meaning, don't change your position for the majority. Let the majority change to your position, because you're in my position. Amen? Stand to your feet. Darkness will never overcome the light. And God's word is light. God's word is righteousness. And God will even allow his people to be outnumbered. Don't think that it's strange. God will allow his people to be in situations where you are outnumbered, and you still have to stand for God. Don't cave in and become like everybody else because everybody else is doing it and it seems easier to go along with the flow. It's too many people, it's too many pastors, it's too many Christians, it's too many people who have served the Lord but have succumbed to the pressure of giving in to what everybody else is doing. And I don't want to be said that I'm out of sync with everybody else. And so now they've joined with things and embraced things that are not Christ-centered. They talk about Christ, but it's not the character of Christ. Don't worry, it was 850 against one. 850 against one. And matter of fact, he didn't wait for them to surround him. He called them to the fight. Hello. Sometimes we can't wait for folks to come to us. Sometimes when God calls it, we have to then call the battle to ourselves. Amen. To say so that here's the interesting thing.